So you're saying that the, in effect, by your taking care of the building, that you viewed that as your income.
Yes, it would have. We wouldn't have had that income if I hadn't. And I had to see that it was rented to people that we could live next to and things like that.
So you would use that income the same way that you were using your own income when you were working in terms of the maintenance of the household.
That's right.
And his income, he did not contribute towards the household?
Some he did, because... But well, we had saved like $7,000 while I was working. And he fled when I quit with him, and he right away, or even while I was working, bought a new car. That new car did not satisfy him, so he sold it and bought a used car, you know. And this way, he was like a horse trader. He traded till he didn't have anything left. he kept down to a mule.
What role would you play in these decisions about these cars?
I had none. He'd go out. They'd call him up from out of his sleep. They knew he worked nights, and they could deal with him while he was sleepy. So they'd call him up, and he'd tear down there, and they'd give him all kinds of build up and soft soap him, and you know, build him up so that he felt he was somebody big, and then they'd sop it to him. And sell him.
Well, Olive, what did you... here you've both been working all during the war years, and a fairly hectic schedule.
Yeah.
And it saved the $7,000. What were your ideas about how the money should be used?
Well, I decided then that this was time for me to use some of it. So I had the addition made on the house. He and his dad did the work, and a cousin, I guess. And so I had a large room where I could have my sewing machine. I bought a freezer, which cost us $500, which, you know, that was hard for him to let go. But it was my money, really, that had saved. And a new refrigerator, a new washer, a new vacuum, my sewing machine. I just bought all these things, you know, to have, because there was no reason saving it for it to go out on cars that he'd just find fault with and trade again.
And what, did any problems result from your going ahead and buying all of this?
No, he had no say. I was one to speak up, you know, and it was fury if I had to.
Well, did you keep the money separately, or was it all...
No, it was in a joint savings account at the bank. And we bought all these things. I can't remember whether we had... Oh, I bought a new stove, and I had new linoleums laid in the kitchen, and... I bought some rugs. We didn't buy any furniture. When we first bought the house, we bought a five-room house full of furniture, and that pretty much took care of that, for our needs.
Mm-hmm. Were there any discussions over all of this remodeling and purchasing?
I would say, have my say, I wouldn't tell him, I wouldn't do it without saying. Mm. But he would complain, and I'd go ahead and do it.
It sounds like it was almost a matter of who would get to the money first.
Yes, I think that's what bothered him. That's why he kept looking for cars all the time, so he could buy all that he could.
And he was still then commuting out to Lockheed and Burbank?
Yes. Uh-huh. In fact, he worked at Burbank all the rest of our marriage.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me more about how, at this point, then most of your time was spent in taking care of the house and these the rentals that you had attached to the house and in the back.
I I belong to the PTA, and actively I would do things. I didn't want to hold office, but I did hold office. I worked with the Girl Scouts, and that takes quite a bit of time. And we used to have meetings at our house. We met in the school first, and then we met at my place. And I would plan their affairs and kept them very happy. Mm-hmm. As Girl Scouts, doing things mm-hmm. that weren't too boring.
What were your thoughts about your daughter at that point? What were your expectations about what you might encourage her to do as she grew older and as she became a young woman? But still, during this period, when you were all involved in this and taking care of the house.
I don't know if I guided her in that manner. We've talked of many things and what we would like to do, and it seemed like it was her choice to write, to be an author as a youngster. I don't know that she wanted to do anything else. I don't know that she wanted to teach or anything like that.
It sounds like during this period, which would have been, what, about 19, between, say, about 1945 and 55 and through there,
mm-hmm.
that the focus of your life then was...
On her. What she, you know, getting her ready for... becoming independent.
Mm-hmm.
We did that. It really was very young, because I remember when she was four, I was sick in bed and couldn't get up. And she brought me breakfast in bed. She had the oranges cold, the eggs and the toast were hot, and served just perfectly in bed. So she was very good in the kitchen, very mm-hmm. good. But she used to like to stand on the chair and roll cookies and things like that.
Did you involve her at all in the remodeling work that you were doing on the house and the decorating kind of work?
Well, she used to get, she was little, and she'd have a hammer and some nails mm-hmm. if she wanted to. She had her own little saw and things like that. And she could have little pieces of wood and do what they want. With children, they just want to do with their own ideas. They don't want you to tell mm-hmm. them how to do it. So you just give them what they want and let them go to it. And I think that's the best way.
Mm-hmm. Did you seem to enjoy that
yes.
sort of activity?
Yes. And, of course, she liked the paint.
Mm-hmm. Now, at that point, exactly what sort of skills did you have, and were you using in the house? You talked about carpentry.
I didn't do much carpentry. Mostly, at that point, is what I tore it out. There was a plate rail, which I shouldn't have torn out, but I, with everybody around, they were using it to stack stuff on, you know, and it just looked cluttered. So I took it out. And I painted it yellow, and I have pictures of the house there. Anyway, it had big beams, and I painted the ceiling a lighter yellow, and then a little more bright yellow wasn't really quite that brilliant. Mm-hmm. But and then I had papered with a lattice type thing. It was gray lattice with yellow roses climbing on it. Now it was there was wool.
Oh, that wainscoting.
It wasn't really a wainscoting, but it was the woodwork up mm-hmm. quite a ways, at 4 feet or something like that, 4.5. And then there's just that small space I papered.
Mm-hmm. Had you started doing any electrical work yet, or plumbing at that point?
No, that's one thing I still let him do, and usually had the leaky faucets for months before it was fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But he usually could open up the drains and things mm-hmm. like that.
Now, at what were you still doing things together as a family at that point, or not?
The only things that we ever did together was get in the car and ride, and that was with him. And Joyce would get so tired. You can't take a small child and go and not stop. And it was really hard on her. But we used to do our Sundays, we'd do things like that.
Mm-hmm. Was that, do you have pleasant memories of that, or was that?
Yeah, I always enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. At that point, what was your idea of, did you have any plans for what you wanted to do?
I could dream, but...
What were your dreams?
Well, I often thought of, I'd think about having a business, like a little shop where I would sew and sell things, and that sort of thing.
Did you ever discuss those kinds of dreams with anyone?
Well, not really. I just carried it out, what some of my mm-hmm. ideas in the skulls, so that we made dolls, and they were from the early times, like the West, mm-hmm. going west, and dressed them in that manner. And they were cute, and we sold them for $3 a piece.
How would you go about selling them?
Through the scouts, through the teachers, mm-hmm. and that. No, we sold all we could make. And I had it set up like a little factory when they made them. I had them, like if they were sewing skirts, they would sew one seam on a whole bunch of skirts. And so it wasn't boring to them. They didn't have to stick to fixing one doll,
mm-hmm.
and they just do one little.
So you would supervise this whole group of young girls,
and they enjoyed making these dolls. They wanted to keep them, and they probably should have, but we sold quite a few of them.
And how did you start to develop your ideas about getting property and fixing it up?
Well, I could see that. We lived on the money for so long, you know, I could see that I could make a living out of it and even do better. And I talked to him, my husband, and I couldn't get anywhere. I told him, I said, you know, we can make it here in California and become wealthy if you just cooperate. He wasn't about to. He wanted to spend all his money. So, anyway, he was buying cars in 1951. Well, Teresa went back in 50, and I was pregnant in 1950, and he was going back, and I wanted to take Teresa back, and I figured he could leave her, because my mother had been there, and she'd caused quite a bit of trouble. So, he'd take her back, but he insisted on Joyce going, and I didn't dare make the trip because I figured I'd lose it, mm-hmm. you know. So I stayed home, and they went. But I was pregnant, and I got I lost it anyway.
How did you feel about being pregnant?
Well, I kind of wanted another one. I'd always had one. It was planned, as far as that goes. So anyway, we tried some more, and the doctors know how to test a woman if she can conceive. So they tested my husband, and they found that he was practically sterile, so we had to give it out.
So even though he had, something like 5 years earlier, wanted to separate, in effect,
mm-hmm.
he still, after that, wanted to go ahead and build a family?
I don't know if he wanted. he went along with it, say.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he meant what he would have done about it. But I felt that it was nice to have Joyce have a brother or sister, and mm-hmm. she would have liked it.
How did you feel then after you discovered that you wouldn't be able to have any more children?
Well, I just accepted the fact that was okay.
Did you give any thought to adopting or to taking your niece back?
Oh, I would never have taken her into the home again. When my mother visited, she'd sit down to the table and she'd glare at my daughter the whole time, and she was jealous,
mm-hmm.
and she wouldn't, Joyce couldn't eat, she just, so I had to sit my mother and Tracy in the dining room and Joyce and I eat in the kitchen. So I had this 3 weeks that she was visiting to contend with, and she went to school to visit. I don't know what she told them. She went to, I was giving Teresa piano lessons. She went to them, and she wanted to pay for the lessons, so, but I wasn't taking any money from her. I said, we'll take care of her while she's here. So she wanted to be sure she's having lessons, so she got them to give Teresa scholarship. Well, Teresa had only started taking lessons. And she didn't deserve a scholarship, you know. This was a ridiculous thing. and they told me that they were giving her a scholarship. Well, they'd had Joyce for a year, maybe. And before. And so anyway, I was giving them both lessons. So I just quit.
Mm-hmm.
I just wasn't going to have that interference. And I had Teresa to the doctor. She'd begin wetting the bed again, which she'd done at home the whole time. And I said, and he said not to have her have anything that was a pressure that was made her think, you know, and pressure in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I took her off of that, but I did continue to have them both take their dance lessons, because she did enjoy that. So
now, at this was, so this would still be before 1951.
Yeah.
Well, how did things then develop, say, after about 1950? How did you start to develop your...
Oh, she went back in 1950. That's when they went,
mm-hmm.
they moved. And we moved to Reseda. He and I started square dancing. We started square dancing before we moved out there. This was something I thought he would like, you know, because he could two-step. That's one thing he could do. And he really needed to do something besides sit behind the wheel and drive. He had varicose veins very badly. Now, I looked out for his help. I was health conscious for the whole family, myself, too. And it was pretty hard to do with him. We went square dancing until it became apparent that he was going to sit out the whole time that he could be used to form an extra square. When there was no need for him to form an extra square, he got in, so somebody else would sit out. So it didn't work out too good. I didn't feel like it was fair for us to go and do it this way.
Where did you go? Square dancing?
We went to Hollywood High School first while we were in Hollywood, and then when we were in Reseda, we went to the park there. They had it there at the park building. It seemed like it was an upstairs thing.
Now, what year was that you then got to Reseda?
51. We moved there in April 1951.
And you bought a place?
Yes. That was that house that
uh-huh.
I showed
right.
you.
Now, how did that come about?
Well, he was buying cars, and we had some money in our account yet. And I said, look, I said, before you buy any more cars, I'm going to have a new house. So I had my way. So this was good because this gave him an interest. We we went looking at houses. So we looked at houses every Sunday for a couple of years before we bought. And it was kind of fun. We saw this one go up from the time it was, the land was cleared. And we keep looking at it and, and comparing it with the others around there. And it was nicer. And we paid more for it.
And was your plan to keep the Hollywood house or to sell it?
We kept it. Yeah, we planned to keep it. We had tenants in there and we rented it and naturally made the payments for the other house from this one. And we had the down payment. We had already paid the house off there in Hollywood, so we borrowed enough to pay it down. And they had, when we bought it, it had sold to two other families at on the same day, but we were the first ones. And they had sold it for more money to somebody else. But so their loan, they were going to let the time extend, and they didn't call us. And they had refused the amount we wanted to borrow on it. So they said, well, this is what we will loan on it, and you'd have to pay so much down. And they thought we wouldn't. So I said, yeah, we'll take it. And we paid it down. Got the house.
What was your life then once you moved out there? How would you spend your time?
I still didn't drive. I had learned to drive in 1951. I learned to drive. And I had to drive into town to take care of these places. And once a week I cut the lawn, and if there was a vacancy, I'd have to go every day. And weekends I'd take Joyce with me. But I never stayed over. I'd just go while she was at school.
And what happened with your friends and all the other activities that you've been involved in, for instance, with the PTA and the Girl Scouts?
Well, I got into Scouts out there, and we had a group of Mariner Scouts. As they grew older, we went into the Mariner, which was interesting.
So it sounds like your life still revolved around
Scouts and the Joyce.
Joyce and then taking care of the property.
Yeah. I had to take care of what life I had, because I couldn't depend on a permanent arrangement with my husband. You know, in the future, I wanted to take care of things that would keep me going. And I did work... In 1951, I went to work at 52, something like that. I went to work at Sears for a year. I can remember Joyce was 11, so it was when we first moved out there.
What made you decide to go back?
I had a friend working at Sears, and she said there was a job, and would I like to work, and she got me in.
And what did you do there?
I sold it. Sportswear, women's sportswear, and I was saleswoman of the week for 1 week, or month. I was saleswoman of the month.
What store was this? Was this out in the
Sears
Valley?
Sears in the Valley.
And how did you feel about that work compared to the more craft work that you were involved in, taking care of the houses and the assembly work you've done?
I liked it. It was meeting people and, you know, being a little bit aggressive.
Did you work full-time then?
Yes.
How did you handle your other activities then, like the Scouts?
I did, well, I didn't belong to PTA out there. I attended evenings and when I could. I worked evenings sometimes, like Saturday, maybe Thursday, that's it.
So this was, what, till about 1953 or so that you worked
there? I just worked 1 year. That was, so it was in 53, I guess, that I...
How did you terminate there?
Well, it was in January, and they wanted to lay me off, but they didn't want me collecting unemployment. They just wanted to lay me off for a couple weeks, they said. And so I said, that's okay, but I said, they said they'd call me back. But I said, I want to look for work. So they terminated me. So,
did you collect unemployment then?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we went on in 19. No. We had scouts. Yeah, I had the yard work, of course, to do out there. Well, we had fruit. I had this big freezer, and we'd put down. I'd make, when the peaches were ripe, I made a lot of pies. My friend and I would make pies together. We'd freeze them in our freezer. And I always did canning. I was bought the pears or whatever, and strawberries and raspberries, and always canned every year.